Hi, and welcome back to your public affairs programming show. I am once again your host, Jackson Heaton, and a returning special guest. This is his second time being on. Friend of the show, Jason Flatt, founder, CEO of Friends to the Forlorn Pit Bull Rescue. Jason, thank you so much for once again taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
You said you've been busy lately.
And it's been nonstop since we started in 2009, but yeah, extremely busy.
Yeah, and you said today when we were walking in an interview after this, you got to go pick up 3,000 pounds of dog food.
Right, that's our monthly food supply.
And that doesn't include the treats, you said, or the wet...
The wet food or the prescription stuff. This is just our regular everyday food that we feed our dogs.
3,000. Yeah, and how many do you have in the shelter right now?
We average between 75 and 100 dogs in the rescue at all times. The facility that we have now is my home. So we have about 28 dogs there, and the rest are in foster care.
How does foster care work for a dog?
Well, foster care is the next step, you know, before adoption. Basically, we take dogs in from the pound or from a situation. We get them their medical needs attended to and get them ready to go into foster care. People who foster for us are volunteers. We provide everything for them, food, the medicine, the preventatives, the crates, anything that they need. Everything's covered by the rescue. We require people to get the animals to our adoption events. We require them to be able to get them to our veterinarian down in Dallas, Georgia. And we require them to, just be able to get the dogs ready for homes, give the dogs the attentions, the walks, the medical attention that they may need, anything like that, administer medications. You know, in order to foster for us, we do require a home visit. We have to check you out. There's an application process, a home visit. We make sure that all your other pets are taken care of. And we try to match a dog that's going to fit your home and your lifestyle.
But the rescue takes care of everything. For the rescue.
There's no out-of-pocket expenses for our fosters. We pay for everything.
When you say making sure a dog is going to fit in someone's home, what do you mean by that?
Well, some people might have other pets. Some dogs might not like, some pit bulls might not like other dogs. They might not like children. They might not. Every situation is different. Every dog is different. So you don't want to set a dog up to fail, and you don't want to set a foster up to fail. You want to make sure that everybody's comfortable and on the same page and that the dogs are going to get their needs met.
So if you're placing a dog in foster care, you're going through every step to make sure it's going to be perfect.
It's the same thing as that we do for our adoptions. Mm. Yeah. We're very, very particular about who can foster for us and who can adopt from us.
Now, the stigma with pit bulls, you know, it comes, you know, the stigma that, you know, people see that they're angry, they're, you know, confrontational, they bite. I mean, there's such a bad stigma that comes with pit bulls.
You know, there's two sides to it. There's three sides. You have people who are, you know, advocates who love the breed and say pit bulls are the greatest dogs in the world and everybody should have them. Pit bulls are great dogs, but not everybody should have them. You know, it takes a special owner. As far as human aggression, very uncommon for a pit bull. I mean, they're not bred to be human aggressive. They were originally bred to be dog aggressive. And if you respect where they came from and you understand where they came from and you don't set them up to fail, they're great animals. They're one of the most loyal, loving dogs. I mean, I've taken dogs from actual dog fighting cases and they love you like no other dog will ever love you. Just because they're dog aggressive doesn't mean that they're human aggressive. That's two separate things. They're not related.
You say you've pulled pit bulls from dog fighting rings?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And you can actually, they can make a recovery? They can? You
know. Yeah, I actually have taken one down from Macon County, a dog named Louie. They called me about him. He had two busted knees. His elbow was crushed from a bite. They found him. He was chained up eating broken glass. The owner was convicted on 11 counts of animal cruelty and one count of dog fighting. He's adopted to a home with a 5-year-old child and two other rescue pit bulls, and they get along flawlessly. Every dog is different, just like every person is different. I don't judge a dog by its breed, just like I wouldn't judge a person by their nationality or their color. Everybody's different. Everybody's individual. So I judge each dog individually. But it's healthy to remember where these dogs and why they, you know, where they came from and why they were created. And if you have that understanding and you don't set them up to fail and don't put them into bad situations and you put them with responsible owners, they're great. They're great pets.
I was watching a video and there was a little kid. It was one of the videos on your website. A little kid and a pit bull just playing with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, pit bulls can be the most loyal, loving dogs out there.
Yeah. I mean, every breed of dog can bite. Mm-hmm. They have teeth. They can bite. Most of them love children. but I tell people this with any animal, a dog or a cat, regardless, you don't leave a child alone with any animal. Actually, I don't leave any animal unsupervised. When I leave my home, every one of my dogs are put away. I don't leave them together. Everyone's put up because I don't want to come home to something bad. It can happen. So I look to prevent it. It's easier to prevent than it is to treat with anything.
And you're working so hard. And I mean, how many other rescues like this are there around?
I don't think there's any like us per se. I mean, we're probably the largest in the area. We're one of the largest in the country that takes on pit bulls. The ones that we take on, the forlorn, you know, the thrown away, the ones that nobody else wants, the rough cases, there's not too many people that are set up to do that. So I don't think there's anybody that's quite in the same arena as we are. I mean, there are some pit bull rescues out there, but it's not easy. Like, for example, when I started the rescue back in 2009, there was a bunch of breed-specific pit bull rescues. Not a lot, a handful. Every one of them is not in existence anymore. They're gone.
Well, once again, I'm speaking to Jason Flatt. This is his second time on the Public Affairs Show. He's the founder and CEO of Friends of the Forlorn Pit Bulls Rescue. And May is a very important month for you right now.
Oh, yeah.
It is Michelson Found Animals Saving Pets Challenge.
Right.
So what's this that's going on in the month of May?
Well, for the month of May, it's our largest fundraiser. It's from the 1st to the 31st. It starts today at noon, May 1st. It's a fundraising competition. Throughout the country, there's 150 different rescues from all over the place competing. The rescue that raises the most money throughout the month of May will be awarded a $50,000 grand prize. The second place rescue gets a $30,000 grand prize, and there's challenges each week, different challenges in between. It's special to us because we're taking that money, whatever we raise and whatever prize money, if we do get any prize money, hopefully, we're putting that and we're looking to build a facility for these pit bulls because there's no facility in the world for these dogs. I mean, a real hardcore state-of-the-art pit bull facility.
Well, what would be the difference of where they live now as opposed to what you plan on building?
Well, what I plan on building is going to be a lot more efficient. It's going to be, like I said, my house is, you know, one of my houses is the acting shelter. And it's a nice place. I mean, we have acreage, we have big yards and things like that. But we want something more efficient, more green, better for the dogs. Like each dog will have its own run that's going to be 40 foot long by 6 to 10 feet wide. You know, just open up a guillotine door, hit a button, and the dogs can go out, clean the place thoroughly. There'll be no cross contamination. There's going to be a vet center in there, a medical, you know, medical part to the facility. There's going to be an in-ground therapy pool. There's going to be underwater treadmills. A lot of the dogs that we take in, have orthopedic issues, hit by cars or trauma or, you know, cruelty cases, and they need rehabilitation. We want to be able to do that in-house. We want solar power. We want nature trails. We want this place to be, you know, because it takes a long time to adopt these dogs out. We don't want them to be warehoused in kennels. We want them to have a place to live, and we want to use it as like a halfway house. The first phase of it will be like a halfway house where we get these dogs ready to go to foster homes and then hopefully the next step to adoption.
What makes Friends to the Forlorn different than other dog rescues, animal shelters?
I mean, we take the ones that nobody else wants. We take, you know, what I tell people is, you know, people love dogs. Even people who love dogs hate pit bulls. People are afraid of what they don't know, and they don't understand pit bulls. Unfortunately, looking at the numbers in county shelters and city shelters, 80 to 85% of these dogs in most places and municipalities are pit bull or pit bull mixes. And there's not a lot of rescues that take in pit bulls. It's not easy. If it was easy, there would be more people to do it. So that alone sets us apart. I mean, like you mentioned, like when you first started the show up, you said it's an epidemic. Yeah, it's catastrophic. If you think about it, over 1 million pit bulls a year are euthanized in pounds across the United States for no other reason than space. Pit bull mixes, it's a broad classification. Pit bulls is not a breed of dog. It's a classification. It's made up of anything that looks a certain way, unfortunately. So you have a million of these pit bull type dogs being euthanized. If I rescued 1,000 dogs a day for the next year, I'm still not even putting a dent in it. It's 365,000, you know, if I rescue 1,000 a day. That's not going to happen. We rescue 100, 125 a year right now. We need to do more. And that's why we need to grow. And that's why this Saving Pets Challenge is really important, because we need to grow, and we need to grow to meet the needs of the community.
And your goal is $200,000?
Right. We're looking to raise $200,000 or whatever it's going to take to come in first place. We need that $50,000 prize money. And like I said, the first phase of our facility, we're looking at estimated between $1.5 to $2 million for the first phase.
And what would be your goal for completion for the facility?
My goal is to never complete it. It's to keep going. Every state has a pit bull problem. I'd like to address Georgia first. I don't think I'll ever knock that one out of the park while I'm alive. But my goal is to just keep going and save as many as we can, as long as we can do it the right way and do it responsibly.
And where can people go to give for this Pets Challenge?
It's the CrowdRise campaign / Friends to the Forlorn. The minimum donation is $10. It has to be done by credit card. The challenge goes all month, the whole month of May.
What got you into this, Jason? Why pit bulls? Why rescuing what other people don't want?
Oh, I grew up in a house with a pit bull. When I was born into a house with a pit bull. Back then, nobody knew what it was. 45 years ago, people, they didn't have that same stigma. They weren't as popular as they are today. My second dog was a pit bull mix, not by choice. We just adopted a dog. We didn't really think about it. And then when I moved to Georgia, my brother had passed away unexpectedly, and I found myself in a pretty bad place. And I moved to Georgia, and I was working from home, and I met some people. And one of the guys that I knew down here, his daughter brought home a little five-week-old pit bull puppy. She said she found it on the road. It was covered in fleas, and she said that, she brought it home to him, and he said, I'm not going to take this dog. I'm going to turn it into the pound. So I said, why don't you bring it to my house? I said, I'll take him. And I had cats at the time. I didn't have a dog because I was just coming off a pretty hectic work schedule, working on Wall Street for years, and I didn't have time for a dog, so I had cats. They were easier. And I took the little puppy in, and this little puppy, I was in a bad way, mentally for my brother. This little puppy gave me, like, a reason to get up in the morning. He just brought something back to my life. And I promised him that I'd pay it forward for him. So I went to the pound to adopt the pit bull to get him another friend. And I looked around the pound, and it was nothing but pit bulls. And it bothered me. And it really bothered me. So it bothered me that I thought that, I needed to do something about it. And it's one thing to, when something bothers you, you can say how much it bothers you. But when you don't act on it, it doesn't help the situation. So I didn't want to be one of those people. I turned around and I started to volunteer at the pound. I started to look for pit bull rescues and to volunteer with, and there just wasn't many around. And the ones that I did volunteer with, I just felt like I could do a better job. So I started one dog at a time. Here we are.
Right, building your legacy. And would your hopes be like after you're gone, after your time, would you want to keep your hopes that Friends to the Forlorn gets bigger and bigger and bigger? And
that's like my worst fear. My worst fear is I got it started too late and I'm not going to be able to, see change. But I'm hoping that, with us building that shelter and really bringing awareness to it, I mean, it's an epidemic. It's catastrophic. It is a real problem. And people think that it doesn't affect them. They say, oh, it's just a pit bull. No, this is people's money. This is taxpayers' money. People don't think dogfighting affects them. There's a big criminal element to dogfighting. It's not just two pit bulls killing each other for money. It's, there's a lot that goes on with it. Organized crime, drugs, gambling. It's all part of the mix. So it does affect the communities. But that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that this cements us into the community. I'm hoping that it really continues. This will never be solved in my lifetime. It'll never be solved in my lifetime. So I need the next generation. I'm 45. I don't know how many years I have. I keep a pretty hectic pace, but I don't want this to go away. I want this to continue because it's going to be an ongoing problem.
Well, once again, they need your help to build this facility. $200,000 is the goal for Friends to the Forlorn Pit Bull Rescues and the Michelson Found Animal Saving Pets Challenge going on all month long, month of May. This is what the show's all about. People that are doing amazing things in the community that a lot of other people don't do or, won't do. You're doing something that other people don't.
Well, people can do it. Anybody can do it. It's just not, people aren't set up for it. It's not conducive to their lifestyle, whatever it is. I've amassed a great team. I've got a solid board. I've got great volunteers and great foster homes. And these people, people see me and they always thank me. Don't thank me. Thank the people that work with me. It's my vision and I work at it and I work really hard. My team is really, really good. I couldn't do it without them.
Well, Jason Flatt, founder, CEO of Friends to the Forlorn Pit Bulls Rescue. Thank you so much for once again coming in, taking the time to speak with me.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Continued success for you and everything.
Thank you, man.